from this gentleman to the podium this morning.
Here's my phone.
Wow, praise the Lord. That was powerful. Good to see you, praise God. Okay. That was a good report. A good report. Thank you, Pastor Larry. I really appreciate and respect this man of God. He has allowed me to grow in my senior years. Into my third bonus year.
I thought I was going to go down to the bottom because I was going to do a sermon underneath that logo.
God bless me. Let us pray first. Father, in the precious name and the marvelous name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for your son. Thank you for his passion, his drive, his enduring power, his strength. And we love the Holy Spirit, how he continued to grace us with his presence. Thank you, Father, for all that you have continued to do and allow us to receive and grow into this kingdom concept. Redemptive power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our pastor, first lady, the congregation, those who came out this morning to hear the word of faith. I got born again when I was 18 years old. And at the age of 18, I was excited about church. I sang with a choir. Went around different churches and different denominations, just singing the gospel. Very singers. It was like 30 of them. I was excited. But I didn't know the word. I heard sermons, Daniel and Elijah, then, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I heard these sermons. Those sermons were inspiring. And since that time, I backslid from 18 to 35 about 1,000 times. Rededicated myself back to the Lord, feeling bad about messed up with God. In and out of church. I think I was in the church for a minute, in the world for a minute, but I was never in the world more than 2 or 3 months at a time. Because I got scared and ran back to church. And every time I went back, I rededicated myself, my life to the Lord. But I didn't know no word. But when I met my wife, Lady A, she introduced me to this pastor, Eddie Johnson. And he sat me down and began to teach me the word. And from that time, I fell in love with God.
The channel. Okay. I'm telling you,
there's another level of this thing called salvation.
I think I was watching it yesterday.
Bible study in church is great. You've got to do it, or you'll never reach this other level. I heard the keyboard player say, she don't play with church. She don't play with God. And it's not that people play with God. They just don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
They think they know, or they think they have a concept of God about it. But until you search out the word of God and be consistent with Bible study and church, you may not reach that level. I know so people go to church, go home and read the Bible. Yeah, that's good.
I was able to...
I'm not denying that. This other level we're talking about is having ample time with the Holy Spirit. It's another level. Can I get a Bible word, please? Another level. If you turn your Bibles to John 10.
Scroll down, because I think it's at the bottom.
St. John 10. And I got another one here, sort of verse 22.
John 10.
I'm going to start verse 19. Verse 19. And this is
my
scripture. It's very important to understand some things Jesus is Savior. Jesus never shows up unless there's a purpose. He never reveals himself unless there's a purpose. And the purpose is always deeper than what's being said. The King James is a great Bible. It's a powerful tool.
So now we don't have to do both.
This Bible here is translated from Greek to Hebrew. But there's another part of this King James that if you don't search out the Greek and the Hebrew, you'll miss some understanding of some concepts of what the Word of God is saying. Am I right, Pastor? Because it was translated from the Greek and the Hebrew. King James was powerful to get it into English. But he translated from the Greek and the Hebrew. And there were Greek words that were not will match up to the English word.
They give him, right?
So when the Greeks write scripture, they would write stories with the words.
What he said that was important.
So let me set the stage with what's happening here in the scripture.
Because the other one, there were people giving and all that.
I promise you, that's going to be good. I want to make you thirsty for more of the Holy Spirit. Thirsty for more. It says at verse 19, it said, there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear him? Why hear him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of blind? Verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication. And it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple and Solomon's porch. This is very important. Right there. And Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews around about him. They surrounded him and said unto him, how long does thy make us to doubt? If thou art the Christ, tell us plainly. Plainly. Listen to this. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.
Church.
Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown you from my Father, for which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for good works we stone thee not, but thy for blasphemy, and because thy bear a being a man, making thyself God. And Jesus answered, it is the scripture. Is it not written in your law, I say, you are God? That's in Psalms. If you want to check that, it's in Psalms 82:6. If he called them God, unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye unto them, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thy blaspheme, because of I say I am the Son of God. Back to the part where it says, and Jesus walked in the temple and Solomon's porch. So this was the dedication of the temple.
Like about.
this dedication of the temple, which we know as Hanukkah. And the whole ceremony was about the Maccabees came to church.
Yeah, because I was trying to find
the temple. So every year, when the feast of the dedication,
yes,
they will go in and scrub, clean down the temple. The cleansing of the temple. The cleansing of the temple. They also call it the Festival of Lights. Because you know, they take a menorah and they light a candle each day. Are you with me? So Jesus here talking about cleansing and light. They call him a devil.
That's my church body.
Is he the Son of God? And they holler that and scream that. Tell us,
can you share?
Are you the Son of God? So they don't know who he is. But he points to the works that he's been doing. Healing the blind, feeding the multitude, raising the dead. All these things, they still don't recognize who he is. One of the reasons why people are so confused on, they were so confused on who he say he is because they did not understand the scriptures that they were. They didn't know the word that the scriptures that they were taught. Now remember, they in the temple, and these are educated people. These are people who knew the scriptures. They knew the word of their time. And that word that they got pointed to the time that Jesus showed up. Just like today, Pastor said, we live in a strange time. You haven't seen the worst of these times yet. It's going to get worse. It's going to get more intense. And that intensity is going to affect on your mental and emotional well-being.
It's not by continuing.
Your mental and emotional well-being.
But that's
this is where the enemy likes to play the game. You play the game. See, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I mean, if you have done creation, don't be shy. I'm sure you did. If you receive Jesus Christ, come on, raise it in. Say God. Come on. Praise God. Do you understand what that means? You are born again. You're sealed.
Yeah.
If you leave here today, you're ready to talk. The best thing that happens to you, you get into the presence of God. Just like that. The problem is that because you don't renew your mind, I from 18 to 35, backslid 1,000 times. Kept going back to church, rededicate myself to the Lord. Because I never changed my way of thinking. I never changed my way of acting. I never changed my behavior. And because I didn't change my way of thinking, my feelings always dictated that I was not worthy. Until you get into the Word of God, which a lot of people in church, but they don't study the Word of God.
So we got to change.
They read the Word of God. They don't go beyond the pages of the Word of God into a deeper and more powerful relationship with God.
Is the same one from
last week. So we're doing the struggle and their everyday life trying to figure out why I'm here. What is my identity? Who am I? What is my purpose in life? You know, this is the time and season of life that a lot of people do not even know their true identity.
So when he
tells they don't know who they are.
I try to put it in order, but he says
they take on the world's concept and take the world's identity. The world will tell them they exist, and because they don't know who they are and have no foundation of truth in their innermost being, they accept what the world says. And they live based off that. And they receive Jesus Christ. So they don't enjoy the full impact of the concept of the kingdom of God. They don't enjoy the blessing of God.
Like they come up like it did before. Because I did on screen.
I kind of like it if they stay on the thing.
You've never been attacked when you're doing right. People say things, come on, Ray, come on. Are you listening?
You see, like, the numbers.
You know, somebody come against you and you know you're right. But you can't prove that you're right.
23.
Because what they're saying, it sounds
like
truth. I don't know why it's not. It feels like truth to people around
them.
When you try to let people know that what you're saying is true or that you're right, they don't believe you. That hurt me. Why that bothered me? Because I couldn't call the police. I couldn't jump on them. Oh, yes, I wanted to fight physically. I wanted to throw that. But that would have never proved nothing. That wouldn't have served anything. So it bothered me. I couldn't sleep all night. I'm laying in the bed and God, what's going on? All night. You ever done that? Lay in the bed, the eyes closed, but you're not sleeping. There's just something calling your mind. Come on, y'all. We all been there. You have to make a decision. You know what decision to make. You're upset. You want to fight. You want to throw rocks. You want to throw stones. In the morning.
So moving those lights.
And I didn't get the answer from the Lord until the morning showed up. When the morning came, I got the answer. And what I did was, I went to this person and I gave them what the Lord gave me. When I gave what the Lord gave me, it was about money too. I was going to either accept what they said and continue on making money from them, or do what God said and give up the money. I gave up the money. Because wisdom is better than rubies and gold. Or precious, yes, than diamond. I gave what God gave me. I went to them, I said what the Lord said, and left. When I left, I went home, had breakfast, and slept like a baby. The breeze is coming through the window. One time, one of the things about your emotion in your flesh is always trying to dictate the war. They want to see your flesh, want you to fight. Want you to do that realm of the mental. They want you to stay there. But this realm of the spirit is much more powerful. Oh my, it's much more beautiful, much more elegant, and much more peace. Surpassing all understanding. Praise God. Put up that first diagram, guys. The first diagram. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Passed away.
I'm looking for the King James version.
No, here you go.
Yeah, here's King James. It says, therefore, any man in Christ,
so
he is a new creation. All things are passed away.
Do
and behold, all things all become good. Those new things are spiritual. They're spiritual. And if you don't recognize that, you'll begin to do the old things through your life in Christ, through your walk in the Lord. You'll begin to react, respond in the old way, you know. And that's what the devil wants. Now put up 1 Thessalonians 5:23 in that chart. King James. And the very God of peace sanctify you all. And I pray, God, your spirit, your soul, and body are preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the joy. Your spirit, soul, and body. So right there it tells you that you're three parts. You have a spirit, a soul, and a body. We live in the soul.
So we can do picture in picture.
You have, see, you can't live in the spiritual realm all the time. But you can have access to the Holy Spirit in the spiritual realm. That's where the problem comes.
So you do all okay.
I've been doing biblical counseling for a while. I dug deep into it because I wanted to know why I was feeling this way in my soul. Why things wasn't changing in my soul. What was going on? Why was I thinking all that? All these problems was coming up. All these decisions I had to make. And I found out that there was a trigger in me. And we all have these triggers that the devil will play with. If you don't know your trigger, then the devil will use your trigger against you to keep you out of the spirit.
Yeah, I made those.
Okay.
He'll use what happened to you when you were 19, 20, 5, 6, whatever happened to you in your first 20 years of living. Whatever trauma you experience in your first 20 years of living, and you may not call it trauma, but it becomes a trigger into your adult life. But whatever you missed in your first 20, you're going to repeat in your second 20.
Like,
that's the way it works. Psalms 9 and 10 say God promises 3, 4, 10. A score 20 years. He promises you 3 of them. And if you do well, you get 20 more. Then 20 more. And 20 more. Until you go up and you fly away. But in your first 20 years, all hell broke out of all of us. Traumatized. Something happened. I don't know what happened to your first 20, but I know what happened to mine. And it becomes a trigger for the devil to play with. And here's how he does it. Pay attention to this chart here. There's always an event or situation that arises in our life all the time. Always something that you have to deal with, a decision you have to make. How you handle that situation or that event depends on how the outcomes are met. What we see past all the time is when a situation or event happens, what we see is the behavior, the reaction. We see people snap out, go crazy. Listen, I've been at this since I was 18 in church. I've seen people shut their heads off, tear the church up, knock the pews down. I'm not knocking that, but I did it too. I was part of that. But they did all that, and it still was no change. Still was no change. And they were some of the most evilest, angriest, upset people you want to meet. And because they was in the presence of God, they felt like they felt the presence. And they shouted, yes! They felt good, yes! They felt the presence of His in their soul. They felt God's presence, yes! They had a reaction from being in the praise and worship. They praised God, yes. But in that first 20 years or whatever happened, they caused them that trauma. That I shouted so hard that my leg hurt. I would get it in because I was hurting in my soul. I was bothered. Things were happening. Why did he didn't like me? Why did he talk about me? Why did he turn the nose up me? Why did he ignore me? Why did he all the lies, all that stuff? Bothering me, hurting me. I seen people fight a battle that God has already won to the point that they lost their own mind. Right now, they're not in their right mind. So they're still fighting battles that Jesus already won. Already won. And they've been in church for years and nasty and mean and wicked. They call it nasty nice. Come on, boy. Y'all are not telling the truth. Let's get to the nitty-gritty of this thing. If you want to have this presence with God, you got to get to it with the situation. See what it says in the middle? In the middle says an emotive automatic thought. That's the trigger. Every situation comes up, this automatic thought. What's the thought that triggers you? What's the thought that makes you get triggered? What's the automatic thought? Because you said you were delivered, but you're still nasty to me. If you end this word and you tap into the presence of God, you change. Peace come over you. Love come into your life. You become a more nicer, more kinder, more gentle person in Christ. Come on, y'all. Why do this and still be nasty to me? Why do this and still lie and cheat? Why do this and still be disrespectful? Why be in this and don't change? Come on. Stop playing with God. Stop playing with the Word of God. Go to the next level. Because the devil got your ticket for your automatic thought. He knows what's going to trigger you. He's going to embarrass you or shame you. I could have gone on that job and cursed that man out. I could have gone on that job and demanded somebody to take up for me. But what would it prove? Nothing. Until God gave me the answer. When God gave me the answer, I walked away. Because I'm already blessed.
They said something.
With all the spiritual blessings in Christ. God supplies my needs. I don't need man to hold something over me because he thinks I need help. I need God. And only God. And I love his
word. Mute it. I don't know how.
Automatic thought. All that's going to happen today or what happened right now. He pushes that button to trigger you in an automatic thought to get you to have an emotional reaction, a physiological change, fight, flight, or freeze. You're going to do one of the three. You're going to fight, flight, or freeze. And that physiological reaction. And then we're going to see your behavior. You're going to walk around with your nose up, evil, nasty, mean. Or you're going to have the joy of the Lord. Come on, y'all. This thing works. It works. I've been married to my wife for 39 years. 39 years. I left the relationship a thousand times in my mind. But I never left the house.
That's right.
Because of God. Oh, you did the same thing, too. You ran in your mind. You plotted, ran, left the house, going down the highway, ran, hit the lobby, live happy ever after. It don't work like that. That's in your mind. Walk out if you want to. You have to repeat it again because your devil will trigger your automatic thought in your next relationship. So your mind will work this one out. Your mind will work it out. John 4:24 said, God is the Spirit. God is the Spirit. And they that worship him must worship the Spirit of truth. It's the Spirit that we have to learn to tap into. That's where the peace is, baby. That's where the joy is. That's where the comfort is. When I tried to get there to spend time with God, I studied on it. I was spending time with my own conscience. I was spending time with me. I thought I was spending time with God. I was spending time with me.
Because
if God gave you a conscience, your spirit's on the line.
That keeps going
next
out.
Chart. Mm-hmm.
Look, what's the next chart?
Now, I'm not teaching you that.
But what's the one that was smaller?
That deep problem. Why?
This one. Yep.
And people sit in front of me with these issues, and they're ready to fight. Fight or freeze. They want to fight. They want to lead a relationship, but they say, I love them. I don't want to break away. I don't want to leave my husband or my wife. I want to stay in this relationship. But they're angry. They're upset because they have not been renewed in their mind. You don't renew your mind, your soul will always dictate what you already know. And see, I know how people are intelligent and all that, but the devil will use your intelligence against you. He'll use your wit and your cleverness against you. They cause you to make decisions against the principle of God. When are you going to humble yourself and say, I don't know, I need help? Because a lot of us need help. They need somebody to help them guide them through their trauma, the stuff that happened to them when they were growing up. I've seen saints fight a battle for years, and they only have a mind to serve God now. They read the Word of God, they go to church, they do all that, and they're still stuck into with the first 20 years of living because they still like, my daddy is my father, my mom. Don't blame them. They get all they know to do. They get all they know to do. If they knew to do better, you would be better. They only did what they knew, and some of them were struggling themselves. I can't say my father, he left. Why he leave? Why did my mom leave? You know, don't let God, because they passed away. God took them. God didn't take nobody. The devil come to kill, steal, and destroy. Stop saying those, because it's a trigger to your automatic thought to change how you think, to give you an emotional response, so your behavior will be off the chart. That's what it does. People come into my counseling session mad, upset. That's the reaction from what they've been thinking. Time to start renewing this moment. I'm going to tell you, we got in the house in Washington. You think he's taking jobs from now? It's going to trickle all the way down to your. It's going to continue to trickle all the way down to your pocket. We're at personal moments, and you're going to need God. If you don't think you need God now, you're going to need God. Come on, keep on living. Keep on living. You'll see more. Because if Jesus said that there's going to be bad things coming in the future, then there got to be somebody to change the way things are. If he said perilous times will come, well, then somebody going to start pushing some buttons. But the perilous times will accelerate. And things are accelerating more and more each day. Every day something new. You got to figure out if it's true or not. You don't know if it's true or not. You can't go by the social media because you don't know if it's AI or true, but you don't even know. But this is the truth. Tell us, are you the Christ? He said, my sheep know my voice. They hear me. Your problem or our problem is in our soul. It's not in our spirit. That's the level you got to get to. You got to learn to have koinonia time with the Holy Spirit so he can reveal some truth to you, some problems and answers that I can't give you, this pastor can't give you, only God can usher you into his truth to answer your questions. Some of you think I don't even have the question to ask. I don't feel. I'm why. Only God can answer those questions. Here's, put up that last chart, please. I don't have time to break down the spirit and the body. But let's just, because we talk about the soul, let's look at the soul. These are the parts of the soul. Can you make it bigger, please? These are the parts of the soul.
I don't think we can.
Can y'all see that?
No.
Tell them.
Is that clear?
Just give us a second.
Praise God. But you have a volition, mind, emotion and conscience. What the enemy wants to do is change your ability to don't recognize truth and choosing of God's word. So whatever you will to do, God will honor. If you think it's right and it's wrong, God will honor what you say. How you will. The problem is that whatever you do it affects your mind. It's your mind, intellectual power, wisdom, and knowledge. That's what stores stuff. You remember stuff. Come on, you remember the first time you got cheated on, right? You remember the first time you felt rejected, right? You remember the first time you got angry. Come on, you store that stuff in your mind. You store it in your mind. It's still there. That's why you got to renew this mind. If you don't renew this mind to the Word of God, the devil will keep on regurgitating those old things back into your mind. To push that emotion, that all that thought button, that trigger, to cause you to react. You may not react the first time, second time, but one of those 100 times, you're going to snap. Because you keep thinking about it, he's going to push the button. One day, he's going to push the button, and you're going to respond.
We could. It's coming.
Okay. Great. So that's what happens to Jesus' apostles. They didn't know Jesus, but they read the scripture. They had the Old Testament. They should have known he was coming. They should have understood what he was doing, that that's what this was the Son of God. They didn't know, just like today.
Right.
When truth comes, we don't know. We have to check our phone to see if it's true. You got to check your phone to see if it's true. Emotion, here it is. Feeling, ability to function in love, hate, sadness, and happiness. He wants a emotional response to how you were triggered, so you react to warp your conscience, to warp your conscience, ability to know yourself, ability to know yourself. He wants to warp your conscience to cause you to think negative, bad, evil, nasty. You come against this man of God that's teaching the truth, and you know, because you've got other issues, they take it on the pastor or the leader of the church. Don't they? In their family. They take it out. Anybody stands across this is the target. That's it. I said some things across the pulpit, and people today in this church still roll their eyes at me. I know it, but because I know God, and I know they've been damaged in emotion, I pray for them. But I'm going to still teach the truth. I've been at this too long. I'm 75 years old and still fly in Jesus' name. And I'm not going to bow down for no ugly, emotional, damaged person. I don't care. Or I do care, but I'm not going to take under consideration to wear. No. Our time. I'm enjoying this in Jesus Christ's name. I came too long, too far to bow down to somebody who's damaged and don't want to help, won't come to Bible study, won't only come to church when they feel like it. And then they're going to ask God for favor, grace, and mercy. Oh, he'll give it. What do you expect more out of him? It's time to stop playing this thing. Do it for real. Come on now. Listen at this. The Holy Spirit and St. John. You don't have to look at this. I'm just going to run it off. The Holy Spirit, he's a comfort.
No.
That night, I needed comfort. I needed comfort. Elder, when I went down to spend time with the Holy Spirit, I could not get these thoughts out of my mind. It took me more time to get the negative thoughts to stop than a minute to spend with the Holy Spirit. I took 20 minutes trying to get my mind so I could focus on the Holy Spirit. I took all that time, did all that stuff on my mind to spend time with the Holy Spirit. So now I know what I do. I don't even turn the TV on when I come to the house. I don't even turn the radio on in my car. So I can focus on him and him alone. Because he is the comfort. He is the sweet joy on the inside. I want more of him. The Holy Spirit. He indwells. He's in you. You don't have to ask him to come in. He already in. He's there. He inside of you. He's waiting for you to recognize him on the inside. He said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. This is the Holy Spirit. This is who we thirst for. He's a teacher. He's the one that's teaching. He made me so thirsty for more of the Word of God that when I start studying the Word of God and I start trying to understand what this King James Study Bible holds, numbers, beside the words, and all the other little things. I wanted to know what all that meant. And I'm like, why that number? Why that? I tried to find out. But I found out it was directed to the Greek and the Hebrew. I said, oh, there's another meaning to this word? Wow. The Holy Spirit, he's a reminder. He reminds us of his word. Word of God. He brings through our thoughts, the word back to our thoughts to give us peace and to lead us in the guidance of the all truth. It's him that convicts you. Yeah. See, the devil condemns you. He tells you, you're Shakespeare shameless. You know you're wrong. God doesn't talk like that. He doesn't concern about what you did wrong. He wants to know what you're going to do right. So he convicts you when you do wrong to do right. He convicts you when you do wrong to do right. He's urging you to step up to another level of his presence in you. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your secret closet and pray unto the Father. When I study that scripture, that word closet, going to your secret closet. The word closet in the Old Testament in the Greek meant a bank, a vault, where you store your treasures. When you go into your closet, right? In the New Testament, when Jesus said it, he was saying, go into your chamber, your bed chamber. Listen. Jesus was saying, come into your bedroom and dwell with me in the Holy Spirit. He was saying, come into this intimate place where a husband and wife koinonia together. Spend ample time intimately. So I thought about this bedroom. Excuse me. It brought me to think about my own bedroom. That's my great-great-grandson. My great-grandson. I thought about my own bedroom. Come into your bed chamber. So I thought about my own bedroom. I thought about when Lady A washes the sheets and she puts that downy in the dryer.
Yes.
That sweet fragrance that, you know, fresh sheets on the bed. It's around about September, you crack the window, cool breeze come in, and you got that 1,000 layers of red sheets. You lay across it and you pour the comfort upon you and you snuggle. I thought about that's what God, Jesus was saying when you go into your bed chamber with the Holy Spirit. Come into a fragrance. Come into my presence. Koinonia with me. Spend time with me. Don't worry about anything. I'm your lover. I'm the one that got your best interest at hand. Come, spend close time with me. I thought about that. I said, Lord, thank you. But our minds are racing so fast, we don't clear our minds enough time to think and go into the presence of God. Our minds won't stop thinking because we keep feeding information from our phone, from the internet, with all this other information. I bet you know more information on the internet than you know about the Word of God. All day long, here is more junk. Turn it off. Fast your phone. Yeah. Turn it off about 5. Do it for 25 minutes. Don't look at it. Turn it off. And then meditate on Scripture. And then clear your mind. Just take time to clear your mind. To spend time with the Holy Spirit. See how long you get. See how long it takes for you to clear your mind to spend time with God. It took me over 10 minutes, or I don't know how long, but most of the time it's wrestling with my own conscience. Here comes chicken dinner, fried fish, all this stuff coming to my mind. You know, with shoes to wear, with clothes to wear tomorrow. You know, the doctors are wrong. Come on, no, your mind does. Everything comes up, smelling stuff, you know, hearing things. You know, somebody come in the room, all kinds of stuff goes on. You got to get all that out so you can spend time in another level with God. Another level with God. The presence of God was here during praise and worship. There was a quiet spirit. It wasn't that we wasn't responding to the praise and worship. Everyone was meditating on the Spirit of God. That's what was going on. People was meditating. It wasn't that they were not involved. They were involved. This is the only time that they can do it. When the music's playing, the phone's playing. Come on. That's the reason why. So I learned to practice spending time with the Holy Spirit. Because my sheep is sheep, so it's worth it. If you say the child of God, this would work.
Yes.
You may not shout at this, it might hurt your feelings, but it's just true. The devil damaged us in the beginning. I've never seen so many young people in my 75 years of living don't know who they are. Not, no, not, no, nothing is tattooed, but they got tattoos on their face. They want to cover their face. Oh. Come on, y'all. This thing is out of control. And it looks like chaos. Control chaos. Tell me, there's another level in this walk with God. Another level. It's about tapping into the spirit realm. Don't let your soul dictate your spiritual appetite. Praise God. When you pray, in Matthew 6 and 7, he said, when you pray. So he's combating that. He's not saying if you pray, he said, when you pray. Go into your chamber, your secret bedroom. Come and corner deal with me. Smell the fragrance of the gallon. Come on, come and smell the sweet fragrance of the Holy Spirit. Because this is where only the peace is. There's no peace in the world. Peace I give you, not the world's peace. There's peace. That night I could not sleep. I was upset. They got good nice sleep. I wasn't snoring that night. Man, this God, man. If they going through this, Lord, why are you doing this to me? I didn't do anything wrong. Oh, wait, why they keep it? Why do they keep picking? All right. God, daylight came. God gave me the answer. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. He's indweller. He's a teacher. He's a reminder. And he brings conviction to change you. That you have fellowship with the Father and the Spirit realm. Do you know his voice? Or are you listening to your conscience? Because when I was studying, the God of study said most people are here to listen to their conscience and not the Holy Spirit. It's going to get much rougher, much more intense, much more pressure, and you're going to be emotionally challenged in your emotions, in your feelings. What are you going to do? You can't call Ghostbusters. You can't call Batman, Superman. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. Praise God to lead you and God to call you. This is serious. Just look around you. Time is running out. Not that the world's going to end, but something bigger will come down the pipe. And you have to make a decision. Praise God. Praise God. I pray that the Word of God helped you today. It got you closer to His Spirit. Because if you're born again, you're sealed to the day of redemption. You're sealed until you get out of here. But your soul and your mind need to be renewed. If you're walking in the Word, you should have a changed life. You should be more kinder, more loving, more respectful, more loving. Somebody slipping forward, ain't funny. Somebody being cheated on or abused. When was it? Well, I can say that. But don't let silver and gold be your desire. Chase God. Chase God. He supplied all you need. He's been supplying mine. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Do you love Him?
Yes.
Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you. I did what you asked me to do. I feel the peace of your grace upon me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, what you continue to do. Thank you for the introduction from the pastor. I really admire him and respect him. Because he sees what you've been doing in my life. He helped me to get where I am through your word by allowing me to grow in his presence. I'm older than him, but we're the same age in the spirit. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. For your grace, your mercy, and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. If anybody has not received Jesus Christ, Lord, say, raise your hand. If you're not born again, raise your hand. Everybody,
go right here.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Come on, let's give the Lord a round of applause for that word.